It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
We still have a few leftover reactions to the Circle of Swarm that we did earlier in the show. If you missed it, Seth and I do this weekly. We put six players into the Circle of Swarm based on past performance and some hope for future performance. But this week's Week 7 Circle of Swarm was Will Anderson, Stephon Diggs, Neville Hewitt, Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, and Danielle Hunter. We had one person say, hey, Blake Fisher, how about him for Circle of Swarm for answering the bell when Tunsil decided he just wanted to hang out on the sidelines? That was
Fisher,
pretty cool.
I think that Fisher, he only ended up playing about 15 or 16 snaps in the game. I thought about him and the improvement that he's made since the first time he had to go in has been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So he's on the watch list.
He's on the watch list. I think you and I have sort of maybe an unwritten rule right now about the Circle of Swarm and the offensive line that until they genuinely string a few games together where they look like a competent Coop Shanahan run game, that the offensive line is just, they're basically the Circle of Swarm practice squad right now. You know,
Blake Fisher and Kenyon Green did a really good job on Joe Mixon's touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much of the run game was still like, hey, let's rope a dope them by running the ball ineffectively with our core stuff, but then every now and then we'll throw in a wham here and have Cade Stover block the nose tackle.
Yeah.
And that's what ends up working. It's like, yeah, it's nice. It's nice, but it's not the stuff of a steady, actually imposing run game.
Sustainable.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I got to have the actual whole offensive line be in on it whole hog until I can give it to an offensive lineman.
Yep. Here's C.J. Stroud. He's been in the Circle of Swarm a few times. Not this week, but he's been in there a few times. Actually talking about Will Anderson Jr., it was fun listening to C.J. and Will talk about each other this week because these are the two cornerstones of the franchise moving forward. This was C.J. How proud are you of Will Anderson Jr. winning that Defensive Player of the Week award?
Man, I'm super proud of Will. You know, just the person he is, not only just on the field but off. You know, how encouraging he has been, not only in my life but in just the locker room, and you know, his family, and then just being so family oriented, and you know, always showing everybody love. You know, my mom are very close, so I just think it's super dope that you know he's able to you know get what he deserves on the field, and he doesn't see a double team every play, you know. So I definitely love the fact that, you know, he came up with a big game, and I know, you know, he has a lot more coming for him, and you know, I definitely know that, you know, he continue to be great.
I love that their families are close. The families seem awesome. I love the family when they were drafted that day and both the families were there. Like, they, I think that's cool. It's like
the
a college
that,
thing.
Their moms are close. Yeah, I like that. I like that maybe they go over and borrow a cup of sugar, something, you know. Just the part with the Texans, that's one thing that's always bothered me, is because it's such a spread out city, and because, you know, early on, a lot of guys moved to Pearland and out to Missouri City because there were really good deals out there. And other guys lived inside the loop. And it makes it tough to just actually get together as much.
Yeah.
And you end up being kind of cliquish at times. And I don't know. I feel like now the minimum salary is so high that they should just start making all players live somewhere inside the loop.
Yeah.
Just pick yourself right there somewhere in Bel Air or Meyerland or something, or West U, and just, you have to live there. I don't care that you're a rookie. You're still making ridiculous, absurd money. You're living inside the loop.
They should create a Texopolis. Like the Astropolis. A Texopolis, yeah.
Or like an athlete's dorm type of situation.
Right, but it's
something.
A massively luxurious high-rise.
Yeah, what's the building you live in? Hanover?
Hanover River Oaks, yeah.
Yeah, they got buildings all over the place.
They do.
A special Texans luxury apartment building.
Yes.
For nothing but, and I don't care how rich you are or whether you're one of those poor souls that's only making $1 million a year.
Right.
You're going to live in the Texopolis.
You're living in the Texopolis Hanover Swarm. Yeah.
Practice squad guys can have a suite in the basement or something.
There you go.
You're like, Seth, it's Houston. There's no, there is in this building. Okay?
In this building.
You're in your way out. You're in your way out of potential drowning by performing, getting elevated to the regular squad.
I love
squad.
That. Yeah. Hanover Texopolis. all right. CJ loves Will.
Ben, put that in my book of real estate ideas.
It's a separate book from the big
that
book
I can leverage personal connections into unethical business games.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. That I can use to launder various things. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Will Anderson on the C.J. Stroud relationship.
Me and C.J. sit in the front row of every team meeting, man. I get to see him every day, walking through the locker room, all that type of stuff. We keep each other grounded, man. We keep each other, like, we're both big in our faith. So anytime he see me down, he encourages me. Anytime I see him down, I encourage him, man. And to both be, like, the cornerstones on the defense, the offense, man, we want to make sure that we're always keeping each other uplifted, man, because sometimes it can be a lot of pressure, and we're both hard on ourselves. And I can tell when C.J.'s being hard on himself, I said, man, relax. Like, you're going to be good. Like, you know who you're doing it for, you know who got you, man, and he already knows who I'm talking about. So, man, it's great having a guy like CJ in the building, having a guy like that to have my back, man. He keeps me grounded, he gives me confidence, man, and I just want to keep playing hard because I know I got seven on the other side.
You said that your moms have become pretty close too. Is that cool that relationship
is fun? Yeah, man, they're really close. They love football just as much as we love football, and they're fantastic. Like, we both come from really great households. Both our moms are really great. Everybody loves our mom. They love each other, man, and it's like a family unit here.
I feel like if this were Game of Thrones, that, like, mm-hmm. CJ would definitely be marrying one of Will's five sisters that he has.
Oh, yeah, and it would be one of the thing that everybody feels good about. But
right.
Then if it were Game of Thrones, then Will would, like, fall in love with somebody, some peasant girl,
yeah.
and screw up the whole thing.
Peasant girl from Nashville or
yeah.
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Like, why is he allowing this Colts woman into our house?
And all of a sudden, CJ has to decapitate Will Anderson just to prove a point, even though he doesn't want to do it, and he's got to do it himself.
It's just in. These stories don't end well. It would feel good that we were combining their houses until...
It's never a simple A to B, okay?
It never is.
I need this to be like a bad sitcom where everything that happens is what you expect to happen,
And yet I'm kind of here for the storyline, man. I tell you what, the one thing I would like, the night that they drafted CJ and traded up to get Will, you could really see what D'Amico and Nick were thinking. I mean, it was pretty obvious. Like, we get to recalibrate both sides of the football with guys who are incredible leaders. I think it's exceeded expectations, and I think there's probably other teams that last year's draft and in drafts moving forward, the better the Texans get over time, they're going to be like, can we replicate this? And it's impossible to replicate it.
Sean, I think the biggest thing, too, is... It means a lot when Will says that, hey, CJ and I sit in the front of every meeting or the front row.
Yes.
Like, that's something that in pro sports, I don't know how well you plan for it or against it. I think a lot of it just comes down to drafting guys who are football nerds.
Yes.
Guys that are genuinely nerdy for it.
Yep.
Because the back of the room dynamic and the front of the room dynamic is big. Like, you get teams will get a culture sometimes where, hey, I'm a pro, and basically you're too cool for school, and one of the things you earn is, as a veteran, you could just sit in the back and, you know, just kind of do your own thing. That's a bad environment, and it goes downhill really fast, and sometimes it becomes a systemic issue, is that there's just a culture of, feeling like, I'm a pro, and pros don't care too much about it because I'm too cool for that.
Yep.
You don't want that. It's cancerous. So I think just having as many football nerds who are genuinely passionate about it as possible is the best antidote for it.
Yeah, well, and when they're, and I know this is the point, when they're your two best young guys also, like the guys who, when they're the ones setting the tone is just huge.
I talked to a guy once who is a former special ops in the military, and he mm-hmm. said that happens sometimes. It happens in all aspects of life, but even in the military, there'll be some units where people kind of feel like, oh, yeah, I'm a made guy, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily keep that edge. It's a constant battle of human nature to not let your ego get in the way or just to start feeling too comfortable.
Do you have any fear that happens with either of these guys? At all? Like
No. I think they'll stay dorky till the end.
I do too. I do too.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here's Matt Burke talking about Will Anderson. Will Anderson just talking about with CJ, like, hey, sometimes he's down and I get him up. Sometimes, you know, like, if I'm down, CJ comes over and he gets, you know, he gets me motivated again. Here's Matt Burke had a funny thing talk, at the very beginning of this, talking about Will Anderson's energy level.
The three sacks? No. I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, just, I mean, I think actually Meek mentioned it at one point. You could kind of tell, like, you can tell with Will. I mean, he's always up. Then there's some times where you're like, man, I don't even want to be around this guy because he's that up. So, you know, he really, you know, one of our themes last week was sort of like bring our own juice, you know, and we understood like what we're going to, you know, go on the road and who knew what the weather was going to be like, all those things. And kind of we were preaching like, man, we got to bring our own energy. And Will really like took that to heart. And so like you could tell right from the jump, like pregame warmups and kind of where he was from, like almost taking upon himself to be the heart of the team in terms of the energy and what we were trying to bring. So to see that sort of translate into the success he had, I mean, it was really cool. Just, you know, I know the stats are great. And then honestly, I just always say this, like with him, you don't even see some of the stuff. Like if there was a stat for setting edges or like just closing gaps down or forcing cutbacks to other players, like those sort of things. I mean, the TFLs and the sacks are amazing, but he does a lot of other things in the structure defense to really help out. So it's just he's fun to be around for sure.
I had to listen to that cut twice. The first time I heard it, I had to listen to it again because it took me a little while. When he said that, what Meek said, he's talking about D'Amico, but in my mind, it was Meek Mill had said something about Will Anderson, and then my mind went off wondering about whether like I can't keep up with the various dramas and everything. Is it a good thing to be called out by Meek Mill right now in a lyric or not? I don't know. I know Diddy is the one that you don't. If you'd been like, yeah, Diddy just dropped a song about Will Anderson, I'm like, no.
Yeah, you don't need to be part of that.
But the other part of it is, too, all the extra stuff. I think that we were talking earlier about, okay, the Texans have had a boatload of pressures but not necessarily sacks. Now they're catching back up where they've got the fifth highest sack total in the league. And it still does feel, in a lot of ways, almost like a no-name pass rush. Even though Will's got the most sacks and he's on pace for double-digit sacks, et cetera, it's a group effort. It's a group committee.
Yeah.
D'Amico Autry coming back this week makes it more so that. Because D'Amico's going to really do a good job of when he's rushing on the inside or when he plays the defensive end and slants down to the inside, he will flush quarterbacks. Like, he just gets really good penetration. When quarterbacks do flush, he's good at tracking them down. And I think it's a very swarmy pass rush, more so than driven by any one individual.
With D'Amico, and they're going to need it this week. There's just no two ways about it. If the injury list holds up today and looks like it has the last 2 days, the defensive line is going to have to win that side of the football for the Texans this weekend. The defensive line and maybe a play out of Derek Stingley or Kalen Bullock to get the ball back for the Texans and get them on a short field at some point. Not that they need short fields with CJ at quarterback, but just the easier they can make it on themselves in that environment on Sunday, the better. With D'Amico, Seth, are you more worried about him possibly being rusty, or are you more enthusiastic about the fact that he may be fresher than all these guys? You know,
I'm enthusiastic about fresh legs.
Yeah, I am too.
And because he plays with a lot of violence,
yes.
A lot of good violence, football violence. And I think it's been pent up. He's probably frustrated, you know, with the suspension. I know he feels that he was done wrong in the suspension himself. So, there's probably going to be a whole lot of pent-up rage there. And he can waterboy his way into three sacks here.
I think
it'd be nice. Yeah, I need him to be the least insulting version of what I can say, the water boy treatment, where you just channel all that rage and focusing on opposing quarterbacks. You know what he needs to do? He needs to imagine that Jordan Love is that allegedly dirty compounding pharmacist.
He's the pharmacy, yeah.
He did him wrong, yeah. That he'll be up there, like, Jordan Love might as well be wearing a white pharmacist coat.
Right. Yeah. The pharmacist head is on Jordan Love's body.
I
like that. Like one of those memes. Let's see here. Sean, tell Seth that Brady is just diversifying his portfolio.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay,
yeah.
I still don't, like, there's other ways. Is that the only way to diversify your portfolio? I'm not aware. I wasn't aware of that was a thing. Okay. I didn't realize that was the only, that in diversifying your portfolio, one of your only options is that you have to purchase 5% of an NFL team.
I'll tell you, a stone cold lock is that now the internet, the thing they're going to be looking out for every weekend, Tom Brady criticizing referees and Tom Brady criticizing other NFL teams. The whole internet is going to turn into one big crossing guard. You know what I mean? Or one big narc on Brady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. They're going to be, it's going to be like the PGA hotline.
Yes.
They're going to be calling in and be like, hey, he violated this condition. Yeah. Violated this condition.
They should set up a voicemail box at the NFL offices for people to call in with their complaints about Brady being overly critical of the league and the other teams.
You know what? That's the rabbit hole I want to get into this weekend. The people who call the PGA hotline to report rules violations.
How many times?
Fascinating to me.
How many times a week do you think Florio does it?
I know that's exactly who I was thinking of, man. No, you know, there's people. I mean, there's people. It's one thing if you see something glaring and you feel like I have to speak out on this, or because you've got money on it, whatever. But you know, there's some people that just gamblers sit there waiting for their chance to call the PGA hotline to report a rules violation.
Oh yeah, and boy, if it comes to fruition, they feel like they have done the Lord's work, man. Like, yes. Thank God for me.
They call me the sheriff.
Around these parts. Oh, man. All right. Payne and Pendergast with
Wyatt Earp of the Rolling Greens.
That's it, man. That's it. All right. Payne and Pendergast, 5 reasons I hate you. Someone just texted, oh, come on. It's impossible to find 5 reasons to hate Green Bay. Impossible. I protest. And then says, can't wait for the segment. I know I'm going to crack up. I know it. I think we've got a good 5 here. It was with much help from the audience yesterday. So we've got 5 reasons I hate you, Green Bay Packer edition. Getting up the appropriate amount of vitriol for the game on Sunday at noon that you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. That is next.